Okay, guys, the next topic I want to talk about, kind of calling the war of words, but I guess it's getting close to that, between PlayStation and Xbox. And I've titled this one, PlayStation Xbox Dance Off, because that's what it really feels like. So, this has all come about because the Brazilian regulators have published information based on feedback on the Activision and Blizzard purchase by Microsoft. What I understand is that this particular regulator, and maybe actually all regulators, ask questions of concerned parties. In this case, tech and gaming companies like the Amazons, Googles, Sony themselves, Ubisoft, Namco, etc. Okay, and maybe all regulators do this, but perhaps the Brazilian regulator is the only one that actually publicly published the information. What do we get? Well, clearly Sony objects to it. Yeah. And what I'll do is I'll kind of read the quite lengthy response from or answer from Sony. So here goes. According to a 2019 study, the importance of Call of Duty to entertainment in general is indescribable. The brand was the only video IP to break into the top 10 of all entertainment brands among fans, joining powerhouses such as Star Wars, Game of Thrones, Harry Potter, and Lord of the Rings. Call of Duty is so popular that it influences users' choice of console, and its community of loyal users is entrenched enough that even if a competitor had the budget to develop a similar product, it would not be able to rival it. Each annual Call of Duty release takes around 3 to 5 years to develop. As Activision releases one Call of Duty game per year, this equates to an annual investment of hundreds of millions of dollars. Approximately 1,200 people work on each version, and another 1,500 are involved in publishing and distribution. Thus, Call of Duty alone has more developers than most games companies employ across its entire development portfolio, including AAA studios. Also, given its plan to recruit 2,000 additional developers by 2021, Activision probably expects Call of Duty to be even more successful in the future. No other developer can devote the same level of resources, expertise in game development. Even if they could do that, Call of Duty is overly entrenched, so no rival, no matter how relevant they are, can catch up. It is synonymous with first-person shooter games and essentially defines the category. This is also demonstrated by player engagement on social media. Call of Duty has over 24 million followers on Facebook versus 7 million for Battlefield, and over 12 million followers on Instagram versus 2 million for Battlefield. To say the least, players would be unlikely to switch to alternative games as they would lose that familiarity, those skills, and even friends they have made playing the Call of Duty games. Even in weaker years like 2021, Call of Duty still managed to outperform most other games by a considerable margin. Call of Duty Vanguard 2021, for example, was widely regarded as weaker than previous year's titles, but was still one of the best-selling games of 2021. In other words, even in a bad year, players remain loyal to the brand and continue to buy the game. So that was a rather lengthy response that Sony had, or answer that Sony had, just to articulate how they felt about the actual acquisition.
But sorry, isn't there a nuance that this is specifically in Brazil only where it leaked? Because the way the laws are, they have to be more transparent. The reason, only reason I'm really bringing that up is because it's a developing country, isn't it? And whether these kind of like ruthless tactics is bit more the norm there versus in places where we live, like the UK or the US. Because ultimately, we're going to ask the question: is there like some culture change and dirty tactics being played versus is that the norm of how things are done within that region or country?
Potentially, but equally, I just wonder, like, if the regulators, whatever country, ask these questions, and the only difference is that the Brazilian authorities just publish it, make it kind of like public, whether these, and for all I know, and for all we know, this is was the standard Sony response to any regulator.
Yeah,
because obviously with regulators, you know, you have to be super careful about how you respond. I'm guessing they employ people to kind of like write these responses.
But
this is so. But this is about Sony objecting Microsoft's purchase of Activision Blizzard, right?
Correct.
But what's that got to do with the Brazilian regulator?
Well, they're going through the process of approving the purchase now. From region to region to region. Yeah,
So they
region.
have to go.
Region to region.
Yeah, it's region by region. That's the difference. Yeah, they have
But
to.
why specifically Brazil
It's
then? I
Brazil,
mean, if
yeah.
anything, you'd be selling of the game.
They have to go from region to region, so obviously all the local regulators get, involved. But the difference with Brazil is that they've made the information public because they can. Whereas like the UK or the US or anybody else, they're not going to make that sort of thing public. Yeah. So that's the main difference, and that's how people have learned all of this. Yeah. And Sony, again, they're the only ones who have kind of really come out and basically, objected openly.
Okay. So you're saying this would be a stock response to any regulator, and more specifically, probably in the US, where this would apply more in terms of the
Yeah,
company
I
law.
think it is. I mean, you can't imagine Jim Ryan for every kind of like question he asks, kind of like typing out something new, right? He's got the lawyers, right, to write up a stock response, like you would do, like say for a bank and their regulators, right? You don't have anybody write kind of response to a regulator. You have a person who knows what they're doing write response. Yeah, and that person not even the CEO. But it's just that it so happens that it's now been made public. And obviously what that kind of says to us is that Sony are not that happy about it. They've got something to lose, obviously. Yeah. Well, obviously.
Yeah, obviously there'll be loads of sales and stuff around Call of Duty, but then I've not played a Call of Duty game in God knows how
Yeah,
many
you
years.
don't,
It's
Al. But there are millions of other people who do. That's the problem.
probably.
Yeah. I don't, but there's
Yes,
millions
you
of other
have to.
people,
Yeah,
and that's the problem with it.
it. I so I don't play them properly, but I've played a couple of the betas over the last 3 years. I've actually done that fairly consistently. The gun mechanics, they have the same feel and weight as Destiny. It's come on a long way. So if you like the boots and the ground feel, there's no other game like it. It really is like they're in that genre. They're the best. There is some weight behind
That's
that
right,
because
and the
no one else
cadence
is going
they
to catch
have
up with
in
them.
releasing new COD games and the quality they maintain with every COD game, it's nothing to be scoffed at. It's quite impressive actually. I mean, even if you don't like the COD games, what they're able to do and the way that the machine that's behind it, that's impressive. But let's move on to the Microsoft response. So what Microsoft said is pretty much this: only one third party, Sony, presented materially different opinions that the applicants and the other third parties consulted by the SG. Sony is isolated in its understanding and curiously even contradicts itself in response to the letter, as will be detailed below. Microsoft's ability to continue expanding Game Pass has been obstructed by Sony's desire to inhibit such growth. Sony pays for blocking rights to prevent developers from adding content to Game Pass and other competing subscription services. It only reveals once again a fear about an innovative business model that offers high quality content at low cost to gamers, threatening a leadership that has been forged from device-centric, exclusive-focused strategy over the years. So there you have it. Sony objects, Xbox responds. I mean, is it anything that we didn't expect, if you know what I mean? It's kind of how I kind of look at it now. It's almost a difference in ideologies and business models. That's where the battlegrounds lie now. And without even drilling into the facts, I mean, they're both big corporates. They're both as bad as each other. They've both played the kind of exclusivity line plenty of times. I mean, what Microsoft are ultimately doing right now is they're not exclusive, but they've got a model whereby they're saying, we're not exclusive, but why the hell would you play anywhere else? Yeah, because this is how much it costs here.
If this goes through, and I think it will,
Yeah, I think it will.
Sony are shafted, I think, because I don't think they can produce enough first-party games to add enough weight against the weight that's coming on Game Pass. So, I think Sony are well within their right to object in the way that they have, because
But this is,
these are normal tactics
oh
from what
yeah,
I don't
totally.
think. I mean, it even says that Xbox aren't, Call of Duty will still be available on Sony as a platform, right? It doesn't mean it has to be on their subscription service, but just the fact that it's about the game passing is seems like the main objection here. Just seems really weird that they're focusing on
Yeah.
just Game Pass.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, think about this, right? You can either outright kill the opposition with a stab to the heart, or you can cut the opposition with a slash to the artery and allow them to bleed slowly. And I kind of think the Game Pass approach is the bleed slowly approach. Because over time, people will kind of see the value and they'll say, well, why am I paying £70 for this? Or I could just pay this for this. And over time, slowly, Sony's mind share and a community will start to get drained. That's pretty much what I think they're thinking. And Microsoft knows exactly what they're doing. Yeah, we shouldn't look at them as the Good Samaritans either. They know exactly what they're doing. These are the battle lines right now, and it's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds. And I agree with Jay to a point where he's saying like, if this deal goes through, Sony are screwed. I think in the long term they're screwed. Yeah, in the
Yeah,
long term.
that's what I meant. That's what I mean. That's what I mean.
In the short term, they've still got deals, and we know they're going to have COD games for at least 2 years on the platform, so that's okay. And even Microsoft have said that COD's going to be available on PlayStation in Game Pass on the same day. All that is Panoptix for Sony.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's Panoptix for Sony.
Yeah, it'll take a while for the because remember that there's probably. Of the gaming community, I'm making this up, right? I'm guesstimating that 20% at max, or maybe let's call it argument, say 30%, are up to date with the recent news, right? There's probably a bunch of people who will continue playing on the PlayStation, not re and keep paying for it every year, not realizing they can get on Game Pass. But the word will get out eventually, and then what? Once you're on Game Pass, once you're on, so whatever means it is. A Xbox exclusive, or one of the games that are part of this deal, and there's so many of them. You're on. It's going to be very hard to justify the next purchase of a Sony game for £60.
I do think, I was saying to Al, I think last podcast, like Game Pass is not the only way to win. It's one way to win, but equally, what Sony are doing now isn't really the way to win. They need to augment what they have to stay competitive, whether it's to grow their services, properly, or some and or something else. That's the thing. I mean, I think what I would think is that they can't be static in this. It'd be interesting. I mean, it'll be interesting.
I mean, as Microsoft even said that they're going to stop selling Call of Duty on Sony platform. Is that what they've said?
They don't have to. Out. They don't have to. All they can have to do is show people the value proposition that they have on Game Pass. In fact, it's actually quite a strong thing for them to have Call of Duty games on a PlayStation console for £70 or US dollars. Because number one, they'll be able to demonstrate conclusively the value proposition of Game Pass to whatever gamer. And they're still going to basically make money off Sony.
I mean, for the price you pay for
Double-edged.
the game once, you get like what 3 or 4 months, or even longer, of Game Pass. Then you could play the game anyway. It's a complete Trojan horse.
That's
They've
totally what it is, and it's about value. Sony have got to basically show value in their own way, in the
yeah,
long term.
through their own subscription service or something.
It's a long term play. It's a long term play, definitely. You're bleeding your opponent. You're taking away their ability to fight. That's how I've always looked at Games Pass, actually. Take away their ability to fight.
There'll be a book written on how good that approach is.
But, you know, we've been saying on the podcast for a while around, is Game Pass actually making any money, right? You know, I think they're just slowly bleeding themselves, but, you know, not to the same extent as bleeding, you know, Sony out even more, I guess. It's just like, just a game of attrition.
Yeah, exactly, Al. Now, I think on this year, Microsoft, we know, much bigger company, they can fund this thing for a long time, yeah. But equally, huge value now. But really, it has to be because of the competition. If over time the competition isn't really there anymore, what's going to happen? They can charge more. That's the reality. Right now, it has to be the value they give it at because they've got big competition in Sony. Over time, if that competition becomes weaker and weaker and weaker, well, we're the leaders now. We can do what we want. And that's always been the way.
So what I would say to Sony is they should do something with EA. Get Apex Legends on it in some way. That's the only competition they've got, really.
No, I don't think it's anywhere near. Yeah. I don't think it's the same weight in my eyes.
Yeah, potentially. It'd be interesting. I mean, what they need to do is basically stop things going on to Games Pass that are important. How they do it is another thing. So let's move on from that, and I'll say, like, there's only one bright spot for Sony in all of this, in that the UK authorities are actually concerned by this Activision Blizzard purchase by Microsoft, and they actually do believe it could harm PlayStation. So the deal may now be referred to the phase two investigation. Don't know what that means, but I think they had 5 days to submit a response. And then after that 5 days, you know, it was going to go to this phase two investigation.
But if it doesn't, how does it work? I don't know if you know, but do they have to get approval from all regions for the whole deal to go ahead?
I can't see how. This is I mean, the companies are, I guess, well, Blizzard is global. I mean, you've got plants in like France and other places, but surely the regulators can only challenge it if the companies are actually registered locations in those countries. Right, so it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense that they can block this stuff.
And the EU will be different though, won't it? The UK regulator might say, "Well, we don't approve
that's the only thing they could do. Yeah,
that's pretty what it is. Yeah, it's basically you have a market here. The market, you know, you have to follow the rules of the market.
It's a company takeover.
Yeah,
it's not,
so you could. Yeah, no, but it's like Netflix, right? They can only show certain content in certain regions and certain countries. It's a US company.
Mm.
They've got data centers around the world, but how they actually deploy each instance into each country is, it has to be abiding by those laws, right?
That's right. So it's all about that. It's all about being able to do business in that region.
But what the implication is, the UK can't stop the overall merger.
They can't.
That's what Al is trying to say.
Definitely not.
They can stop the deployment of Call of Duty in Game Pass in the UK, potentially.
Yeah, potentially.
They can't stop the merger.
The reality is, the UK, regardless of what we think the size is an important market. And when they when they speak, people will kind of take notice.
Yeah, but I think it's not, it's important from a status.
Your player counts can't be that high.
Actual number.
Yeah. Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Users, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is, like, I mean, what Microsoft don't want is that the UK block this, and then other people will follow suit. Yeah. Because remember, I think the UK in part also blocked the Nvidia Risk.
That's a completely separate thing. But that was. They had plenty of opportunities to do that a long time ago. Mm. The fact that they waited to the right end is stupid. But, you know, that's a separate thing.
But what I'm kind of saying is it can be blocked.
But that is specifically a UK company. That's UK systemic. That's very different.
Yeah, totally. The Activision is a US company, you know, when it's all said and done. But they need to operate multi kind of like markets. That's the reality of it. And you know, they're going to want that. They're going to want to be active in every single market. That's the thing, it's a global brand. But I mean, I think we've got to watch that space. I still think it's going to go through.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be a next year thing, certainly. But it's, you know, I feel it's going to go through.
The only way I could see it ever getting blocked is if the EU regulators step in, because Blizzard have a strong presence in Europe and France, or the US. That's the only two places. I mean, otherwise it's going through.
It only takes one regulator, and the risk could like potentially tumble. That's the thing.
I think it would only tumble because Microsoft say, well, the numbers don't stack up if we lose that region. But the UK doesn't have enough numbers.
Well, I think it will stop it. It will complicate things, that's for sure.
Yeah, but then if it goes through, I mean, the UK might block it for a certain amount of time, but they'll eventually let it. Pressure.
I mean, we'll see. I mean, stranger things have happened. Obviously, I don't think obviously it's going to get stopped. But you know, Nvidia not being able to acquire Risk, and Nvidia are an extremely big and powerful company as well. Yeah, they're not small fry. So that for me was okay. That was surprising. So things can happen, and I think we're maybe counting our chickens. I still think it's going to happen, but there could be some bumps in the road for them.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think there's still.
Honestly, Xbox, PlayStation having their dance off. So lots of bad optics for Sony, and obviously The Last of Us Part 1, a remake, remaster, what you want to call it, it's a remake. You know, been out there for a long time, and I think really. When it's all said and done, it's actually reviewed quite well. And, you know, based on what, you know, Digital Foundry kind of saw, they said there's a lot of work being put into this. No doubt about that. But still, bad optics. Yeah. It's a £70 game, which is basically a remake.
I was just going to add, aren't Sony getting sued as well for exploiting
that one's a ridiculous one, though.
It's been started.
It's totally ridiculous, and it's basically a bit of a sham, I think, because it's a UK-based lawsuit as well, and I think they're talking about, was it that Sony have ripped off, is it 9 million?
It was something pretty large, but it was like a ridiculous number, and it was just like, what?
It's to do with the PSN store.
Yeah, the 70-30% split. Mm. That everybody in the world does.
It's the same thing that's just been aired by Epic and Apple. It's
Epic,
like, come on,
Apple, Microsoft. Everybody does this. Every single person.
It's probably Microsoft who got that. Stuff
well, you
to
imagine
go.
If this was
just
one right, who would be next? Microsoft would be next. Yeah, but you know what? It's a bit of a sham because when I read about this, right. It's a specific law firm going after them. You know, whatever the number might be, let's just call it 9 million gamers. I'm pretty sure not one of those 9 million gamers basically asked this, you know, law firm to step in. It was the other way around. I'm representing the so-called 9 million gamers. They don't even know I'm representing them.
Yeah, they don't know that they're being ripped off.
Yeah, they don't know that they're being ripped off, and but they don't even know they need help, you know. And it was such a sham. I just thought to myself, this is just nonsense. You know, like, who is this person? You know, like, who is this person, you know, doing this? No gamers have literally kind of asked for this, I think. But again, it all counts about optics. Doesn't change, right? Doesn't change, but...
I don't even care. They don't care. It's something just don't...
It's a sham of a lawsuit. It's just, you know...
No, sorry, what I meant is, like, lawsuit... or not, the whole list of optic stuff that you're going to take us through is from a position of Sony feel like they have so much influence and power and momentum with their brand, where they're heading with their film studios, with the sales of their PS5, that any bad news...
Ain't that bad.
Any lawsuit... is not going to stop us. We're too.
You know. Okay. What's the worst that's going to happen? Right. Again, they might get fined, but that's assuming they even get anywhere near. You know, actually landing, and then what? Right. You know, are the regulators actually going to block them from the UK from selling any PlayStation, any Sony product? I don't know. It just seems so crazy that they're probably just like. Cares. We've probably got their own law team to go and look at it, and actually they'll keep them busy.
Yeah, and these companies are getting sued all the time. It's normal, but you know it's continued bad optics. You might be right. I mean, Sony might not care about this, but at some point they're going to have to. PlayStation Premium, which is, you know, obviously their service, that top tier continues to be pretty rubbish, much as I can see it. The essential and actual the extra tiers are actually quite good. Those seem to be looked after. But I can't help feeling, what is this premium tier actually about? Yeah. It needs to turn into something else, and maybe, Jay, to your point, when they do get the film and esports and all this other stuff off the ground, right, they can refactor some of this stuff and, you know, make the premium tier actually meaningful. We've talked about Xbox announcing COD will be on Game Pass and PlayStation day one. And we obviously know that right now, PlayStation has had to raise prices in Europe, the APAC in the UK, with the US remaining as is. But the PlayStation price tag has gone up by, in the UK anyway, £30.
Told you how to get one.
You should have got one then. You're like,
you're waiting for a yeah. price drop. It's going up.
It'll be on sale at some point.
No, it won't. And that's the other thing. I don't think we're going to have any sales in this generation.
I mean, the consoles hardly go on for sale. They just bundle more. That's how much you get.
Yeah.
My personal opinion is, you know, I don't think £30 is excessive based on how the economy is looking. And also, like, I think Sony as a company, you know, they're yen-based. So I don't know what the foreign exchange currency might look like.
The yen is extremely weak, but, you know, it's not the GBP is just as bad, really. But still, yen is still weaker.
But I've never seen a console kind of, well, not a Sony console, and it basically go up in price. But you look at it, you know, Meta, their headset has gone up $100. $100.
But that's improved tech and quality, though, isn't it? Built into that price, not just. But then also, again, the components are probably more complicated, so less volume. So the components are more unique, and they sell less volume, and therefore it's in that higher price bracket. When you aggregate it up, it adds up to the £100 probably quite quickly. Yeah, it's like an expensive product, let's say cars. When it goes up, it seems like it goes up a much bigger factor.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe this stuff's tracking inflation. I don't know.
You have to see it as a percentage of the actual cost, isn't it?
Yeah, and don't forget, it's the whole supply chain and everything else as well. I mean, the cause for the price increases, I think, is multiple factors.
Totally.
So economy, not just necessarily one.
Strength of the yen, supply.
Yeah, just going back on that Sony being sued. It was apparently for £5 billion, and it's against 9 million users. So the 9 million users scaled by £67 to £500-odd each.
Which is not going to get.
No, this is like,
it's a lot of bollocks, basically. I mean, the real things, fair enough, but this doesn't feel real. You know, it feels like somebody trying to make a name for themselves. That's how it feels to me. I mean, on the price hike, I mean, Microsoft have responded, or Xbox have responded, saying they've got no plans to raise prices. And we should put yet in brackets. Yeah, because Microsoft actually have raised the price of Xbox in India twice.
Right.
Yeah, it will depend on region to region and where it's being manufactured, right? So all your parts and stuff. So there's definitely multiple factors involved in this.
You know, not so much, bad optics for some people. Sony have acquired Savage for their mobile game division. And then, obviously, insisted that this won't impact their single-player narrative games. So they, you know, obviously having, and they did that quite strongly, actually.
The more I reflect on them, I mean, how many single-player games do they actually have?
True. But the thing is, it's going back to your rep and your optics and all of that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how they looked upon, and those single-player games sell tens of millions. You know, it's the rep they have with it.
Sony have made this mistake as a brand outside of gaming before, where they got too confident and cocky. And they're making the same mistake again, yeah, I think.
I think I'm starting to believe that more and more.
I know they are. And I think the other thing is, I think Phil's, the way they've restructured Microsoft and they've given Phil Spencer more power, I think there's more longevity in the leadership there at Xbox, who actually make the real decisions, which leads to them doing better decisions for gameplay and longer strategic things, versus Sony and their CEO, who's probably going to go disappear after 2 or 3 years or whatever, then just wants to make as much money as he can in the time that he's there, and probably cares a little bit less about...
Jim Ryan's a businessman, that's for sure. And it kind of feels that the people who were into gaming, running PlayStation, no longer there, no longer have any kind of power. So, you know, I'd say that's a fair assessment. But getting back to it, I mean, again, Sony have acquired Savage, the mobile gaming division, so they're obviously looking for it to expand and, you know, it's all that sort of thing. And the only, I don't even call this a bright spot, but they took a 14% stake in From Software. Yeah, so that's the one bit of positive news about Sony, you know, the last month, I think so. Not been a great month for them, that's for sure.
That last bit's not positive
for Sony, right. But I think, you know, again, we talked about how can Sony stop things coming onto Games Pass? They don't have to buy the studio.
Well, it sounds like, based on what Xbox response was, they're paying people. They're paying people to not actually put it onto Game Pass.
They got it. Money's got to change hands, right?
This is where this is their first big mistake. Rather than leaning into it, because it's going to happen, they should whack all their first parties on there and just get on with it. Stop people even looking over the fence at Game Pass. Get them invested properly.
Yeah.
Spend their ecosystem.
Exactly. Rather than spending money blocking the other way, fix your own problem.
Get the people hooked on your first party Gran Turismos, the games that were already out are coming, because you've got movies and all these other things are coming on, right? Get them even more hooked and glued in. The new generation of people that haven't played some of these old games, because some of these games came out a long time ago. Gran Turismo has been a while since I've had a good, decent game. Last of Us 2, okay, that's just come out recently, but like the Horizon, still a fairly new franchise. God of War has just been rebooted. You know, this only had one game, and they have more confidence than people. I think people give them too much praise, to be honest, for their first party games. They are good, but there's not enough volume of them. There's not enough to justify them doing the moves that they're making around holding it off from their premium tier and chucking them all in and saying all their future games are going to be in there.
There's only one reason, or two reasons. One, they can't afford to. And number two, it's, you know, they don't want to move away from their business model. We looked at the whole why couldn't Sony do Game Pass thing. And when you look at their numbers, right, there's no reason why they couldn't necessarily. But the reason is their profit margins. They lord their kind of first party. I mean, if you look at their financial reports, right, they actually line by line talk about their first party games. Line by line.
Yeah. But they're gonna reach a point, because the price differential is huge. If you're a gamer and you're playing Game Pass versus, you just have to buy 3 Sony games, and that covers like a couple of years of, 2 years of Game Pass almost, 3 or 4 games.
Yeah.
Those decisions people are going to be forced into soon when Game Pass gets even more momentum, right? You know, the games coming out in the next 6 months, and then there's the backlog of games they haven't released this year. And
maybe that's the
year.
Other perspective as well.
It's going to be a hard war that comes, and people go, and it's based on price, huge price differences. They're going to be forced into this position, and they must know it, right? Now, Game Pass, Xbox now have a position where they have so many game studios and invested so much in buying out these other companies with the studios that they probably won't make as much money, that much money, from the Game Pass subscription. They have to increase the price. Sony have less franchises and arguably less cost to develop their brands that are synonymous with Sony. I think it's not the case that they are going to lose money by moving to a Game Pass model. It's they're going to make less money now if they did it.
That's exactly what I mean. Their profit margins are going to be less. They basically take, you know, they've got massively invested in what those first party games are.
But there's the opportunity cost slightly more longer term right, let's take this example. And they lost out to Xbox 360. It is hard work getting people back onto the PlayStation when the Xbox 360 was a thing. They've done it, right? If the people switch to Game Pass, that's
a harder kind of, yeah, harder switch around.
Yeah, I think it's going to be harder
because they don't
have the volume of games.
In terms of numbers, they actually didn't lose that Xbox 360 generation.
By the end, they sold more. Yeah, by the end they sold more, but they had to.
There's a fight.
They were the underdogs until the end.
Yeah, but you know, I'm not sure. I mean,
Xbox was a nobody.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Until Xbox 360.
Definitely.
And then they're still a somebody now.
Yeah, I do wonder if it's the point that Sony don't think that Game Pass has any legs on it. And I wonder if that's really down to part of their thinking. Why they want to retain the model they have. Because they don't think this has legs on it. And they're just trying to wait it out. Yeah, because there's lots of reasons they wouldn't do this. And obviously, we've gone back to profit margin. How they basically lord over their first party, you know, software and games. But then the other thing is, do they actually think that this has legs on it? That's the other question.
I think the Xbox, Microsoft have got the whole PC platform as well as Xbox. If Sony, there's rumours of it as well, bringing their PS Plus, having a PC version tier to their PS Plus, eventually they could go after the whole PC market as well, couldn't they?
Yeah, but I do think the people who have the PC platform are not actually Microsoft, it's Steam.
It's Steam, yeah. No, but I'm saying they've got, it's not just Xbox, they've got access to a subscriber base within the whole PC market.
True.
Yeah.
Very true. But, you know, that's where we're at. Xbox and PlayStation are, you know, dancing on. So let's see how this basically develops. I think we're in for a very interesting end of the year. Maybe Sony will show their hand. You know, who knows? Maybe they'll say nothing.
I said nothing. Yeah. Nothing. This is,
I think next year will be very telling.
I think my prediction is that we're going to walk into a much slow moving news cycle period for games until we have a huge shift in game models. Maybe movie franchises might revitalize things. I think it's going to be a bit of a it's almost like the winter's coming for gaming.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit, I think. You know, things will just get into certain level of cadence. The other thing I do wonder is, like, if Sony are thinking game services and free-to-play and whatever they're going to experiment with next, or is going to basically be their saving grace. Because, you know, quite honestly, if they had two big Genshin-like games out there, yeah, I don't think they'd even care. They wouldn't care about Game Pass. Because that would be making them far too much money. They wouldn't care.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's where they're, I'm saying to Al, right, what they're trying to do now is that it's a battle for business models, yeah? And they want to retain their first-party AAA status in the games because that's important to them. But they're trying to supplement it with these other things, right, that make not going to Game Pass viable. Because really, Sony's end game and any company's end game is not whether they go to Game Pass or another service or any of that stuff. Are we making lots of money?
Yep.
And I don't care how they do it.
Yeah.
But sorry, we can drag this conversation. What are their gig? I think people give too much weight to their first party games. You've got Gran Turismo, where the last one was a bit of a flop, really, and the new one isn't doing massively well. You've got Horizon Forbidden West, right? It's a good franchise, but I don't think it's got the huge mass market appeal compared to other games.
Think on this number. Horizon Zero Dawn sold 20 million. It's not small. See, none of these franchises are small. And the franchise has sold in tens of numbers that I thought, that's not a big number in comparison to other things, right? Was actually Uncharted. But arguably, that's one of their best known franchises. But that sold about 10 plus million.
You've seen other companies have strong franchises, the Call of Duties, the and they sit on their laurels, and each franchise fades.
Yeah.
Right. I still don't see Sony's brands there. Those games are not 10-year franchises.
No, they're not because Sony are not the company who basically keep their franchises forevermore. Because if you look at the PlayStation 1, or more likely PlayStation 2 and 3 franchises, they flip over every generation.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
they don't retain them. Yeah, if you think about what we used to play, Jak and Daxter, Siphon Filter, what was that? What did on?
Twisted Metal.
Yeah, all gone, right? You know, so they, I mean, Uncharted stuck around.
That's done now.
Yeah, that's kind of like come to an end, right? So they don't.
And I think the Last of Us will have probably one more than they've done as well. I think
I'd be surprised if we even had one more.
Yeah.
I think Naughty Dog. I mean, Naughty Dog. Was it Naughty Dog? Yeah, they're coming out with what is a live service version game of Last of Us. But that's it. That's the end game. So, I mean, they're not that company. That's why I really think, right, that they've got very little interest in following the Microsoft model, but they're looking for other ways to make money. And, you know, for me, it feels like live service games. Because the type of investments they've made, I think, that's got to be it. Well, anyway, guys, we talked at length, I think. You know, the PlayStation and Xbox dance off. Let's move on to the next topic.